It doesn't matter what forces of evil the devil raises up against us. God is our shield and the lifter of our head. And how grateful we are for that scriptural truth. Well, it was about a year ago this month that God put it on my heart to have our oneness walk. And it was about March of this time last year. Amy and I decided we wanted to walk in some territory we'd never been in before. And so we noticed that they were cutting the new extension of the McIntosh Parkway from Ashley Park to downtown Noonan. And the first leg they were working on was from Ashley Park to Greason Trail. That has now been paved, but is still closed to the public. But that didn't mean anything to Amy and me. Road closed signs have never been anything we paid a lot of attention to. And this was, as I said, about a year ago before it was even paved. All they had done is just gone with a bulldozer and had cut through a rough path for that first leg of McIntosh Trail. And so we got out our hiking boots and we got our walking sticks and we started going on that red Georgia clay. And as we came to the highest point of McIntosh Trail, the sun was setting and we were facing west before downtown. And I saw something I had never seen before. I saw a beautiful sunlit hill, the highest point in Coweta County. And on top of that sunlit hill, I saw three structures, three solitary structures, no other. They were almost in silhouette form by that time of day. The tallest one was the steeple on top of this church. And then there was the courthouse, and then there was our historic church sanctuary. And in that moment, God inspired me a year ago, March of 2017, to lead our church on a walk, but not just our church, but sister churches, not just white churches, but black churches. And God gave me the name while I was walking on that red clay of that rough cut McIntosh Trail. He said, call it the Oneness Walk. Not a march, nothing militant about it. And the oneness is what we need between our races. Well, as time passed, I had my plans refined. God showed me that it would be better to start that walk not in the very prosperous section of town around Ashley Park, but to start it northwest of our courthouse square in an area that has some financial challenges, in an area that's filled with the people that we wanted to reach. And so that's where the idea of starting at Willie Lynch Park started, and going down Brandenburg Street and Lower Man Street and Lucky Street, streets that most of you folks have never driven down, much less walked down. And what a great day that was. But as I was walking on that McIntosh Trail a year ago and looking at the sunlit steeple above us, God put a scripture on my heart. And that's why I want you to take your Bible right now and turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. The misprint in the bulletin of verse 16 is my fault. I gave the wrong scripture. So it is Matthew 5, verse 14, the first book of the New Testament, 5th chapter, 14th verse. And it's page number 1115 in the Pew Bible that's in front of you. It's just like the Bible that I preach to you from. And so Matthew 5, in a single verse for our reading today, verse 14. This is the scripture that God convicted me of as I was walking down McIntosh Trail and seeing our steeple rising from the highest point in Coweta County. It says, and I quote, "You," Jesus speaking to his followers, "you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." Amy jumped out of my car one day last week. I had parked first, but she jumped out here at the corner right down here and took this shot of our church. It was a beautiful day, puffy clouds in the sky, and it illustrated perfectly what I wanted to show you today, that God has positioned First Baptist Church physically and spiritually as a city on a hill. We are a lighthouse. We are seen from all over our region. We proclaim to our community and those in our county, and in fact, those around the world, that Jesus is the answer. Approach our city from whatever direction you want to approach. From Interstate 85, you can see the steeple 4 miles away. Approach it from coming north or west or south. You will see the prominent feature on the landscape of Noonan is this steeple, along with our historic sanctuary steeple. For 190 years this June, since June 1828, we have stood in Coweta County to point people to the right direction, and that is Jesus Christ, and to be a place of hope for those who had no hope, not only here in our community, but around the world. I'm going to take you now thousands of miles away from us to the slum of Imbali, Uganda. Namatala is the name of the slum. It is another city on a hill. Oh, you won't see a big steeple there, but you will see the white compound on the distance, the white wall there, and that is the Ebenezer Baptist Church's facilities. All the people in one of the largest slums of the world look to Ebenezer for hope. They feed orphans. They provide ambulance service through Pastor Fred's own personal vehicle. There's no ambulance that will come to Namatala. And so people, when they have an injury that's critical or a sickness that needs emergency, urgent attention, they don't have a hospital to come to. They come to Pastor Fred, and he puts them in his vehicle. Warren Moore and the Imbali mission team has called Pastor Fred's vehicle the Namatala Ambulance Service. And he is a frequent visitor to the hospital emergency room. And so respected is he by the emergency personnel at the local hospital that even though his car has no identifying marks on it as being an EMT or no lights flashing, they recognize him and readily admit him because of the reputation he has for helping hurting people in Namatala. It is also a place where orphans are fed and where those who need hope can find the whole man ministered to, body, mind, and soul. From all over this slum, residents can see the highest point in their community, just like we are the highest point in Coweta County. The highest point in Namatala is that glowing rooftop. It's a tent. It's not a permanent building. And it shines as a light to everyone. in this poverty-stricken area. Pastor Fred and his wife Olive have faithfully ministered in this challenging field to orphans, to impoverished folks, to sick folks, and even to people from outside their country. His church started with 75 people 3 years ago. Today, they're running over 400 people. They are bursting at the seams. Each week, at least one Muslim who attends will hear the gospel, and many of them receive Christ as their Savior. One who recently believed in Jesus had drifted across the border from Sudan and trusted Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. Uganda is surrounded by some of the most dangerous countries for Christians to live in. This map of northern Africa can show you that. The source is Open Doors USA, and each year they will grade and list the 50 most dangerous countries in the world. You can find the little country of Uganda by looking at the bottom right of that map and seeing the oval-shaped gray body of water. Right above that is the country of Uganda. And you can see, as the choir just led us in a while ago, they are surrounded by enemies to the gospel. Well, you won't see on this map the number one most dangerous place to live if you're a Christian. That's North Korea. They have a grade, according to U.S. Open Doors, of 92 for extreme persecution. This second one's not on this map either. It's Afghanistan. But the third one is clearly seen on the Horn of Africa. That's the country of Somalia. Notice its proximity to Uganda. Even closer is the fourth one, which is Sudan. And all the other countries around them are their enemies. The red-colored countries are extreme persecution for Christians. The orange-colored countries are highly dangerous areas for Christians. And the yellow-colored countries are also a place of persecution for believers who live in that vicinity. It is interesting that in Imbali, Sudan can be seen by the red arrow pointing down toward the country. It's just a short trip through South Sudan. Ebenezer Baptist Church is a gospel outpost for this most dangerous region of Africa. Let me tell you what happened recently. The Moors and the O'Mahonies shared with me how a Muslim from Sudan had come into their worship service there at Ebenezer. He had crossed the border some way or another. He heard the gospel, and he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And lots of people will come to Ebenezer Baptist Church this way from other countries. They don't even really know what countries they're coming from. And these people from these distant areas where Islam is so popular now have a forum to go back into these dark and dangerous countries and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that makes Ebenezer Baptist Church? It makes it a gospel outpost for some of the most dangerous countries in the world. We should pray for them, that God would protect them, that God would protect their new converts from some of these dangerous countries, and that they will have the opportunity to go back and to share with their family and their friends and their fellow countrymen about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brothers and our sisters at Ebenezer Baptist Church are ministering in difficult circumstances. I mentioned to you that they worship in a tent. This is a picture of the condition of that tent. It's beginning to wear. You can see it's beginning to shred. And all it would take is one strong wind to leave Ebenezer without a place to worship. Things have not always been that bad. As a matter of fact, they've never been that bad here at First Baptist Church. But when I showed you these photos of the lack of insulation above your head here in our main sanctuary attic, insulation that was 50 years old and had deteriorated in many places, you acted. And matter of fact, our architect, Bob Foreman, showed us how easy it was to strike a match and start that deteriorating insulation. It got our attention. Not only that, you're seeing now on the screen a hand winch with brittle cable that lowers and raises these chandeliers that are hanging above your heads. When I showed you that picture, those of you who were sitting underneath these chandeliers, it got your attention and you were ready to do something about it. And so you know what we did as a church? We said, because we want a safe church, because we want a church that is functional, because we want a church that will be an edifice that brings praise and honor and glory to God, we entered into the Vision 2020 campaign. And you have been faithfully giving towards that campaign and are pledged to do so until the year 2020. I just want to tell you as your pastor, thank you for making this building and the building next to us and all of our buildings some of the most beautiful and functional and safe buildings in our area. And we're not through. This Thursday night, our facilities team is meeting to discuss future steps, so be praying for them. But I want to tell you this. If we can spend all these hundreds of thousands of dollars on ourselves, why can't we help another city on a hill, thousands of miles away from us? This next slide is an artist's rendering of the church facilities Ebenezer wants to construct. That is a three-story building, but the next slide shows you the first phase would be just a single story, a first floor, a sanctuary that would house up to 900 worshipers. Remember now, they're running over 400 now. It would have offices and bathrooms. It would cost approximately $200,000 to build this first floor. If you'll look at your financial report today, you can see that with the gifts from last Sunday, 15% of this $200,000 has already been raised. And how grateful to God we are for that. We're just a short $170,000 from making this dream a reality. And that's why I'm challenging all of us today to sacrifice towards giving, towards this worthy effort. As I said during the prayer time, there's an offering that will be taken up at the end of this service just for the Ebenezer Baptist Church construction project. And if you're not prepared to give today, there'll be another offering, a separate offering, next Sunday, the 15th, and then again, the last Sunday of the month, April 29th. And I pray that you will seek the Lord about this very worthy effort for a city on a hill that is making a difference in the lives of people. I want to show you now the Ugandan flag. It is filled with rich symbolism. You'll notice that there are three horizontal colors. The black color symbolizes the people of Uganda. They have black skin. And God's doing something wonderful here at First Baptist Church. He's not only breaking down racial barriers here in our community between blacks and whites, but he's doing it there in Uganda also. But more important than the black color is the red color. The Ugandans say this red color symbolizes brotherhood. Now, wait a minute. I thought the black would symbolize their brotherhood. No, no, no. The far more important color to them is the red, because it is the color of blood that courses through their veins. And it's the same color of blood that courses through your veins, no matter what color you are, red, yellow, black, and white. And so we have a brotherhood, not only with these black people thousands of miles away from us, and the black people that are here, and the yellow people that are here, and the brown people that are here, but we have a brotherhood with everyone whose blood runs red in their veins. But even more important than that, our brotherhood with the believers at Ebenezer Baptist Church is more than an issue of the blood that courses through our veins. It is the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. In 1 John and chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and I quote, "But if we walk in the light as he," Jesus, "is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Red, yellow, black, and white. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are on level footing in the economy of Jesus. His shed blood makes it possible for us to call each other brothers in Christ. Well, there's one other color there. It is the color yellow. Uganda is on the equator, and so the sunlight is bright there, and that symbolizes sunlight in Uganda. And as I've already read to you from Matthew chapter 5, and verse 14, you are a source of light. You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. I pray that today, if the sunlight of Jesus has not come into your heart, that it will today. There's an old hymn in our hymn book that I used to sing as a boy. It goes this way: "There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright, that glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul." Is there sunshine in your soul today? Oh, there will be if you've accepted Jesus as the light of the world. You will become a reflection of his pure light to those who do not know him. Now, I know a lot of you are wondering about the emblem in the middle of this flag. It is the great crested crane. It has significant symbolism for two reasons. Number one, it is the nation Uganda's national symbol and emblem because of its gentle nature. But on the other side of the spectrum, when Uganda was under British rule, it was a military badge. Now, think about what a paradox that is. A symbol of gentleness, a symbol of providing protection for those who would be the enemies of the people of Uganda. Is there any such symbolism in the Bible? I most certainly say there is. Jesus said of himself over in Matthew chapter 11, "I am gentle and lowly." He is like the great crested crane in his gentle nature. And he says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." The psalmist would put it this way, thinking of the great crested crane's wings. The bird is not mentioned here that the psalmist alludes to. But in Psalm 17 and verse 8, it says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." Remember the map of Africa? All the deadly enemies that surround Ebenezer Baptist Church. Oh, dear God, hide them underneath your sheltering wings. Oh, it's been years ago now. I don't remember who sent this to me, but I received a thank you note. I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember the ending of that note. The person signed their name, and at the bottom of their name, they wrote down the scripture, Ruth 2:12. Well, of course, when anyone writes a scripture in a note that is sent to you, if you don't know it from memory, you immediately want to look it up. And so that's exactly what I did. I turned to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12, and read these words. And since then, most every thank you note I send, I put Ruth 2:12 underneath it. It says, "The Lord repay your work." That's my prayer for you. For you, dear folks, who faithfully give and serve, may the Lord repay you. But not only that, "and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful thing? To send as a sentiment of gratitude towards someone who has done something great for you. But I love the way this last phrase ends verse 12. It reminds me of this great crested crane's wings. It says, "Under whose wings," speaking of God, "you have come for refuge." God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, look at that red stripe, those red stripes, and that Ugandan flag, and pray to receive Jesus' sacrifice for you, the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary, and then enter into a wonderful new family. And as you also do that, pray for these folks in Uganda at Ebenezer Baptist Church, that God will shelter them underneath His wings as they proclaim the gospel. Let's pray together. Oh, dear Father, in this moment, we ask that you might speak to our hearts. For that soul that needs a Savior, for that soul that needs a refuge, for that one that needs to be sheltered from the enemies of this world, I pray that they would trust you as their Lord and Savior. Father, for those who know you but feel the assault of the evil one and his wicked forces all around them, I pray that they might turn their eyes upon you and look full in your wonderful face, knowing that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. For those that need a church home, dear God, we pray that you would give them peace about where they should serve. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.